O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. A few years ago, I went on a road trip with several college friends. We wanted to take in as many sights as we could, so we carefully mapped out our course and decided to travel through Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and then back through Ohio. We planned to camp each night at a national park and to spend our days hiking and exploring the sights at each destination. We determined who would pack what, how much money we should each bring, who would do the chores at the campsite. Every detail was carefully planned. We were ready for whatever might lie before us, or so we thought. We quickly realized that we had forgotten to account for the weather. We set up camp our first night at New River Gorge National Park. We enjoyed a hike. I cooked us some dinner. We were ready to rest and made our way to the tent as rain began to fall. My friend had assured us that the tent had been waterproofed. Unfortunately, it had been waterproofed several years prior and had lost some of its vigor with time. As the night went on, the rain continued to fall, and our tent, our sleeping bags, and our pillows all filled with water. And for the rest of our trip, rain consumed the forecast. Our plans to camp in these national parks had been thwarted by the weather. We'd not brought much money with us, so we sought out the cheapest hotel we could find each night, which led to a lot of interesting other experiences. Things continued to fall apart as the trip went on. The rain made our hikes muddy and uncomfortable. The rain closed down many of the sights we were hoping to see. It seemed like nothing on the trip was going to go our way, and I was beginning to regret having even gone in the first place. I remember lying in an uncomfortable chair in a rather dingy hotel one evening, praying for sleep and thinking, God, why? What's going on? This is not where we are supposed to be. I'd never done much traveling, and in a lot of ways, this had been my first real vacation. I'd looked so forward to it, and it had turned into such a complete disaster. My friends were growing stressed and grumpy, and to be honest, I was getting pretty grumpy too. I kept asking, God, where are you in all of this? Something has to give. The next morning, we had planned to drive the Blue Ridge Parkway and to enjoy the views that we had been hearing people talk about all throughout our trip. It seemed that everywhere we went, somebody had something to say about this remarkable route. But we awoke to a thick fog. We drove for about an hour, seeing nothing but the road before us, up and down these mountain roads with no end to the fog in sight. Eventually, we crested the top of a hill, and the fog began to break. We pulled over at a viewing point and watched as the fog finally evaporated, the mountains came into view, and a rainbow formed in the distance. Everything stopped. It was like someone had hit the pause button on our whole trip. All of the discomfort and frustration had been paused. I was no longer thinking about what lay ahead or about the obstacles we had overcome. I was simply present in that very moment and lost in the incredible view that had unfolded before me. My pulse increased. My arms tingled with goosebumps, or as my friend likes to call them, God bumps. I felt an emotional and a spiritual fullness within me. I felt like something within me had forever changed. And in that moment, in the overwhelming awe of that moment, I found God. Perhaps some of you can think back to similar experiences in your own lives, moments where you have been awestruck, the birth of a child, seeing a sunset over the Grand Canyon or our beautiful Lake Erie. in a piece of music performed beautifully, in a piece of art designed with a masterful eye, or perhaps in a moment of worship within this church. Recently, scientists have become very interested in awe, and some claim that we need to reconsider our five senses and consider awe a sixth. Awe can improve our mood and our satisfaction with life. Awe can reduce inflammation in our bodies and promote overall health. Awe encourages critical thinking. It moves us away from the materialism and affluenza that our world so strongly breeds. It inspires humility. It reminds us to slow down in the midst of the busyness of our world. It inspires generosity and cooperation among diverse people, and it breeds a deepening interconnection with one another. I would imagine that many of you are familiar with Cirque du Soleil, a theater company that has made its name through helping people to experience awe. In the past few years, they've become more intentional about exploring the effects of their performances on their audiences and their performers. Performers and audience members were fitted with EEG brain caps and asked to complete psychological evaluations prior to and following one of their shows. The results were quite interesting. Their studies showed that awe had a disruptive power, an ability to pull people out of themselves and out of their experience into a shared experience with others. This led to an increase in socialization and caused people to see themselves less as individual pieces and more as a part of a greater whole. They found that awe inspired people to take more risks and to be less fearful of the unknown, and this helped people to make new meaning of their pasts and to feel more potential about the realities of their future. In our reading this evening, I think the psalmist is quite familiar with these moments of awe, and I think appears to be reflecting upon them here. God, there are times when I feel so, so small. You've made such an incredible creation. Even little children cry out and sing your glory. I see the moon and the stars, all these beautiful things that you have created, things that remind me of just how incredibly small I am. And yet, you remind me that I am a part of this grand creation. You are mindful of me and the humanity that you have made me a part of. Of all your creation, you crown us with glory. You offer us dominion over all things. You grant us a place of honor and entrust us with stewardship over this beautiful world. How lucky I am, how blessed we are, and how great you are, God. The psalmist knows awe, and it has been transformative. It brews humility and interconnection. It inspires a deeper relationship with and a deeper reverence for God. It reminds of a sacred place humans hold in the grander scheme of creation. Awe changes everything. It changes how we relate to God and how we relate to one another. It changes how we see our world and how we live within it. But we often think of awe in those climactic moments of our lives, those mountaintop experiences where the mundane and the monotonous seem to melt away and vanish from our sight. We find ourselves lost in those awestruck moments, but they quickly disappear when our lives return to normal. But what if we could find awe in the ordinary, in the normal parts of our lives? If we looked a little more intentionally, might we find things that inspire awe within us in the everyday reality of our lives? Could we make time, like the psalmist, to reflect upon our place in the world as a part of God's creation? As the temperatures continue to cool and fall continues to approach, I would encourage you all to take some time to be intentional about finding awe. Go for a walk, enjoy your yard, find a comfortable bench and just sit and be. Pray that God might open your eyes to find awe in the ordinary that constantly surrounds us. Take a few deep breaths, feel the warmth of the sun, the coolness of the wind, listen to the sounds of people and animals. Take in the colors. Allow God to open your spirit to expect the unexpected, even in the places that feel the most mundane. As you take this intentional time to experience awe, think about how it transforms you, how it transforms your relationship with God like it did for the psalmist, and how it transforms your relationship with the world around you. Perhaps awe can remind us of the connection we share with one another, the mission we are all called to be a part of, and the God that loves us deeply.
God is at work in our world, providing moments that inspire awe in our hearts and in our souls. Moments of creation, moments of being with others, moments of seeing something new happening. Sometimes moments gathered around a table, like Jesus did with his disciples on that night before he was arrested and tried and then crucified. When Jesus gathered with them around the table, he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of salvation, and it's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins." Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. We ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means that we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. Or receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and receive both elements at the same time.